Good morning. It's almost been a year since we moved. And a lot has happened. Apparently, I've become shorter. It's gravity. Catches up to you. For those that aren't acquainted with us, just a brief synopsis of our time in Crete. So we moved here in January of 2009 to pastor the Hillside Church. We did that for 4.5 years. We stayed on to help until Jeff and Laura Lynn Plett came. We're still pastoring there. So, and then I pursued a short career as a salesman with Daryl and Tina as they opened their business, Daryl Tina Dirksen with Embroid Me, which now I see is now fully promoted. Things have changed there. A year with Mennonite Mutual Insurance and 2.5 years with ATB Financial. So that sums up sort of our time there. We moved back to Southern Ontario, which is home for us. I was born there. Lena was raised there and spent lots of time traveling different parts of the globe, Paraguay, Manitoba, Texas. And so when we got married, she was looking forward to a beautiful, long, secure relationship in one place. And I was ready to travel. She's not here today. Can you believe it? She chose to stay home, and I said to her, "Do you know how many times people are going to ask where you are?" So I apologize on her behalf, and she misses Crete. She misses the many faces that we've grown fond of. The relationships are always what has enriched us as we've journeyed, and so it's been absolutely wonderful. The pointer works. There we go. Maybe one too many. Is that me or you? Oh, that's a quick slideshow. How about we go back to the front? There we are. So that's the beach that actually just a week ago we were hanging out at with Jordan and Valine. And little Emea did not want to get out of the water. So again, as I alluded to, rich, rich relationships that we've been able to enjoy and build as we've been looking to be useful in God's service. So we moved back end of August, as I alluded to. We discovered a business opportunity that God had orchestrated. He does that sometimes. We're very, very thankful. Jake and Tina Neufeld, who are here from High Level. Jake's dad is a cousin of mine. So as you can guess, as Mennonites, we're all connected somehow, right? So upon arrival, we found out he was ready to sell his business. The other connection with that Neufeld family is Lena's sister Lisa married Jake's brother Nick. So we're all good there. Of course, you followed that, for sure. So business opportunity, middle of November, we signed to make the business ours, and we called it, maybe you can't see, oh, I guess you can see that. So Moose was a nickname that was given to me back in the day when I frequented the gym, and I haven't been there as much as you can see. But Moose was the name that Dominic used. He was working at the gym, and so he thought that I maybe resembled the Archie Comics character called Moose. But I assure you, I think I have a little more intelligence than he did. I don't nearly say duh as often. So, we had that opportunity to start a business, and so with half a year in, we're very, very blessed to be able to show up at people's facilities, look after their fire extinguishers, sell new ones, I meant to actually take an aerial shot of that area with all the greenhouse farms coming up. It's just, if you ever have a chance to come to Southern Ontario, maybe look us up and we can give you a tour of some of those greenhouse facilities. Not like the greenhouses of old anymore. And in particular now with some of the changes, there's some special produce being grown in some of those greenhouses. So this is a part of the graduating class, and Jonathan's in the center there with some friends. Very, very interesting. He had the opportunity to graduate in the high school that Lena and I graduated from, but this was the first year of their brand new facility. Joseph is going into grade 11 next year. Hannah Grace will go into grade 9, the same school. And next we, yeah, so that was the facility. I won't try to go back. But one of the opportunities that we got nudged to get involved with early on was the bridge. The bridge has been spearheaded by the Meadowbrook Church, where we're a part of, and Frank Bergen's brother George has had this dream or vision of all the youth resources in Leamington area, and despite what the bulletin has, Leamington is in Ontario, just so you know. But Leamington area had a lot of youth resources, and according to stats, there's about 100, just over 100 youth that are homeless or don't have a safe place to call home or to come home to. And so this effort is to bring those resources under one roof. And so there are a lot of facilities becoming available. So it's a former Catholic church, St. Joseph's Church, and on Shirk Street. And so the opportunity is there to reach out to these young folks. Again, many of them victims to a circumstance that they had no part in creating, but they need help. And so we've become part. We volunteer there Friday nights, and it's been interesting. It's not a Christian outreach per se, but there's about four of our Mennonite evangelical Mennonite churches that are responsible for that facility being there. And so there's a chapel there, and there's opportunity for these young folks to have some spiritual counseling and mentoring if they want it. And we've seen some fruit of that. There's a young man. He's only about 6'7", trapped in a 23-year-old body, but I think developmentally perhaps he's somewhere in the mid-teenage years. And so needs guidance, needs counseling and mentoring. And so, great opportunity to plug into. Next, what do we have? This is the home that God saw fit for us to buy. It's not ours yet. We actually had some phone call conversations with the bank while we were here this week, and very, very fortunate to be in a position, especially when you're self-employed and it's a new industry. Wouldn't you know it? I know I'm high risk because I have a little bit of banking background. So very neat to have a credit union come alongside and want to help us along. So in the back there, you can see a little bit of a shop, perfect for our business. It puts us about central to the customer base there. So we will be well served there. It's on a huge property. It's about a half acre. Yeah. So as you can imagine over there, everything is much more congested, and the market is absolutely going like hotcakes. So we're very, very fortunate to be able to buy this home privately, helping both parties save some money. So, needless to say, we've been busy. End of August, we hit the ground running. This whole message, the title being Discovering What God Already Knows. And I alluded to the fact that before we were on the ground there, God was ordaining an opportunity for us on many fronts. And so we're very thankful. The premise of this message this morning is to, how do we discover that? How do we, because we trust that God is good, he's faithful, he's working for plans for us, he has a plan for our life, a hope for hope and a future, and yet sometimes we struggle to know what is our next step. And so this struggle, I think, is not unique to our own. And so I think it's timely in that when we think of even of family situations, decision-making, how would God have us decide what's next? So given the quick rundown and summary of our life story, let's start by being honest. I'm sharing the highlights, like most of us do on social media, right? However, despite some of the challenge that has been ours in the process of heading back and figuring out what's next, housing-wise and all kinds of good stuff, I have to confess that God has been faithful in walking through the trying times with us. And so I think that's an underlying, an undertone that I want to sort of be able to have you remember that God is good. And again, as Russell alluded to earlier, we don't pray, we don't inquire of God because he needs to know. He knows. And it's just a great exercise. Prayer is a great exercise for us, reminding us of the God that we serve, the God that created us and has a plan for us. So I've often been asked, how do you know, or did you know, or how can I know what God's will is for my life? I see I missed a few slides. Let's hold that thought. These are my parents, Predia Paita Ditten von Wheatley. And when I say that in Ontario, pretty much everybody knows who I am, including some of the local law enforcement. And so not because of me, but because of Dad. Dad has been instrumental. They moved from Mexico like a lot of immigrating families did back in 65. That was way before I was around. And so looking for better economic means. And as you can imagine, a lot of family would have figured that they were doing a very bad thing by moving back to the world. And so I'm very, very thankful that he did move his family to allow me the opportunities that have come my way in Canada. And so that's Hannah Grace's grade 8 graduation, and you can see very proud grandparents. So part of the big pull was to come back because, as was mentioned by somebody else, Mom is struggling with dementia. And so long-term memory is still there. Short-term stuff like Hannah Grace's graduation, she had written it on the calendar, put a big H there for Hannah. And on the morning of the day, she looked at her calendar and she didn't know what was up. So not progressed very severely by now at all, but on the road to needing care. And so we're very, very glad to be able to be there. Being self-employed affords us the opportunity to, when we have work in the area, to call and ask if we can come for lunch or bring lunch or go out for lunch. Very, very neat to be able to plug in. This was just a couple days ago. Too many chickens to look after, so a few of them had to turn into honsbruden. So Hannah Grace, her instruction to Grandma was, don't you dare do this without me. So she, for some reason, has a neat little fascination by helping to butcher animals. So part of something, I think, that was learned here. This is Lena's parents. Some of you perhaps recognize them from their time here. They've come to visit a few times here in Alberta, and standing with their oldest first grandchild. And very, very neat to be able to come back to celebrate that with them. And so they've been very generous. They insisted that we take over their house. They moved themselves into a camping trailer in the barn. That's the kind of stuff that we are overwhelmed with to be able to continue to enjoy is firstly God's favor and then the support and the love of those around us. Discovering God's will for your life. So what's next? What's next in your life as we think of moving to the States or different things that come up as opportunities or challenges? How would God have us respond and move forward? So more specifically, in our own life, I was asked years ago, how did I know that you should put your house up for sale and move to Manitoba to go to Bible school? His name was Jake Newdorf that asked me that question. How did you know? Here we were, a young married family, about 3 years in to our marriage, and again, as I alluded to, Lena was looking forward to a very long stay in this house. And so we began that process of responding to what I felt was God's call to us to go to, for us to go to Bible school. This is our first home. We were blessed to have both boys at the time, and we were relatively new in our walk with God. And I find it interesting that in a lot of cases, we are much more prone to take steps of faith when we're new. We're new to the family. And so, I don't know, check yourself, check your heart. Where are you at as far as quite comfortable with your relationship with the Lord? Perhaps you're not willing, I guess, to be made uncomfortable. And so, that's an encouragement, just so you know. And so the response to that question, how did you know? My response is, I didn't know. I didn't know as in no. I knew as in I had a sense that God was asking me to go to Bible school. And so that was, actually Bible school was a very new concept for me as a new believer. I didn't realize such an institution existed. And so as I chatted with Lena about that, it took some time. It took quite a few years before she was ready. I think about 2 years before she was ready. And her confession is that she left skid marks all the way to Manitoba because she really didn't want to go. But she said yes. And here's my encouragement to married couples. Do as much as you can together. Don't try to manipulate each other into something saying, well, this is what God told me. If God's telling you something, then it needs to be processed with your partner because you guys are one. And so we've subsequently done a number of things. So the trip there, the journey to Bible college was kind of spearheaded by myself in what I felt God was calling. I waited on Lena to hear it as well. And then back to Southern Ontario to serve for 3 years in that little church plant that we started. For about 8 years, we were part of that group. And then it was to come to Lacrete. And it was Lena that was ready to move. And so very, very interesting. And so for us, that time at Bible school, that separating, that moving away from family, that leaving and cleaving was very instrumental in setting ourselves up to come to Lacrete, to be able to be ready. So I must confess that I'm the type of person that will likely risk moving too quickly on something. Would you believe that? Probably. However, I've tried to always be upfront with good, bold questions, and I've tried seeking counsel from others who walk with the Lord as a means of check and balance as we prayed and listened for direction. At the same time, God has not given us the same threshold of risk-taking. Coming back to Southern Ontario, new business in January, I show up at the place I used to work for just about 8 years. And one of the guys asked me, he says, are there any opportunities out west? What do you think? Should I move? There's nothing going on down in Ontario. I'm thinking, are you kidding? Are you kidding? It's a bustling community of activity. Let's be honest, not every one of us has the ability to take some of these risks that someone like myself can or will. So this isn't just this guilt trip thing is you have to move away from home. This is not what this is all about. And so at the same time, God has given us, each of us, not given us the same risk threshold, but I knew early on that I needed to be honest with how God has made me and what he required of me with the character, ability, and skills he saw fit to instill in me. One of my first jobs, as I alluded to, was in a canning factory in Southern Ontario where I spent a good part of 8 years pouring in. I wanted to be the company man. My dad did about 30 years at a company where they made toilet seats. Highly glamorous work. And so his role, for the most part, there was maintenance. That's what he did for a living. He did none of that at home. I think he felt trapped in that, given the fact that, again, they moved for better economic means to Canada, And I don't think he saw that he had that option to move to something else, something here perhaps he would have enjoyed. So we live in a very, very unique time. I do. I recognize that, to be able to reinvent what you do several times in your lifetime. Been very, very fortunate. But at this job, at this job, after about those 8 years, there was a bit of a holy discontent on the seat of that forklift. And I remember people asking me, "John, why? What's wrong? Like, what, you look so upset." And I wasn't. I was preaching to people as I was working on my forklift, and perhaps they weren't listening. So maybe it was frustrating. But I was deep in thought, and that it kind of turned into a scowl, I guess. And so I became a little more self-aware. But there was that holy discontent on the seat of that forklift. Great job. Summertime, tomato season, it was 7 days a week, 12-hour shifts for about 8 weeks or till the season ended. Otherwise, it was 5 days a week. Good pay, benefits, nothing wrong with it, right? Why not leave that alone? Most of the people around me thought so. And so my question to the boss was, "What do you have for me? In about 10 years from now, I'm ambitious. I've got my grade 12. Give me an opportunity. How about maintenance? Or whatever. Give me a shot." And he said, "You know what? You'll probably be driving forklift." Whew. And I said, "Okay. Effective today, I'm giving my notice." "John, what have you got lined up? You got a young family." And I just told him, I said, "Not this. I feel I'm worth more to you than this. Thank you for the 8 years, but I'm out of here." And that was a relief to get that conversation out of the way. Looking back, I would highly advise that you don't respond like that. Take some time, think it over. I suspect that even if I would have sought counsel, I think the end result would have been the same. I was moving on. And I think that was God's pressing onto me that it's time to go. And 8 years at a place is a long time, right? It is for me. So you can imagine the concern for my family and those around us as they see a young married husband and father throw away job security and benefits. I didn't seek any counsel, and as I said, I would advise that you do that. You seek counsel from others as a means for a check and balance. All this to say that God is likely not calling you to carve a path that looks like mine, and I think it'd be unfair to compare your situation to mine and try to emulate what we've done. However, God is calling each of us to make efforts to be faithful with what he has given. And it may mean experiencing some pretty unsure and exciting moves, or perhaps he's expecting you to be that loyal or support person who doesn't feel the need for much change in your lifetime. My journey is not more valid than yours. Just to be clear. So herein lies the challenge. How do we hear from God clearly? As the sermon title indicates, God already knows what lies ahead of us, and he also delights in his children coming to him asking for direction. So we can take comfort in the fact that our future is not a mystery to the same God who created us, giving us a unique personality and character. Much of the language and protocol or process that the church uses today and in history has its history back all the way back to Ignatius. He's a priest of old who wrote extensively about listening to God. And so we give him credit for some of these points here. So there's three prerequisites or preconditions in order for us to be able to listen. The first one being openness. And if we look at James chapter 4, James tells us, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live here and do this or that." James has some good instructions for us. So in this passage, as well as in the text from Hebrews, a soft, pliable heart condition is needed in order to be able to hear from God clearly as to what he has for us. The second one is self-awareness and a growing self-awareness. If we look at the Proverbs chapter 21, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. As I alluded to earlier, I recognize I'm wired to be prone to make moves more rapidly and independently than I often should. We need to understand our personalities and how that affects our decision-making, how God has wired you. The third thing is the courage. Courage then to react, to act on what we feel God is telling us. From 2 Timothy 1, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So three preconditions or prerequisites are worthy of consideration: openness, a growing self-awareness, and then courage to move on what we feel we've heard. We also find there are typically three ways that are described as the ways God speaks to us. So the initial one is called the blast. So you can kind of visualize what that might look like. And from 2 Corinthians 12, this is Paul talking. Three times he says, "I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So Paul indicates that he received a clear, audible voice in response to his request for help with his condition. If the church were to be asked, I think that we would find that this clear direction from God is quite rare, and amongst those that seek after him. I don't know if you can confess that you've ever heard an audible directive from God. Perhaps you have, but I will say this, that I think it's quite rare that God's people are given direction like this. The next one being titled The Sense, from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, might start off as a bit of an obscure passage, but listen to it to the end. "A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is." And then Paul says, "And I think that I too have the Spirit of God." So in this instance, Paul is offering advice to a specific circumstance regarding remarrying after a spouse passes away. You'll notice a much more subdued tone to the way he describes how he heard from God. "I think I too have the Spirit of God." Right? So quite an interesting contrast from the previous passage where he says that he heard, "God said to me." So and then the last one is titled The Silence. And that's from Acts chapter 15. Here the church is wrestling with people that haven't been circumcised and all these different religious Jewish traditions, heritage. And so there's a council meeting, and the result of this meeting is that in verse 28 of Acts 15, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything more than the following requirements." And there's a bit of a list. So there too, if you look at the tone of that sort of directive, we've sat, we've prayed, we've talked together, and then the outcome is that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that not to burden you with anything more than there's a list. So the title, as I alluded to, is a bit misleading. It's not The Silence, because God is still moving on our behalf. However, it is God choosing not to give clear direction in whatever form, but insisting that he has given us good resources, as in our own capacity to reason, to glean from others, especially to glean from his word, and expecting us to move forward as his children, empowered by his identity and entrusted to make good use of what he has already provided. So here's a key item to keep in mind as we try to listen. What's going on in my soul, in my life, that might be affecting how I'm able to listen? I don't know how clear that's coming out with. Oh, that's pretty good. So at times in our journey with God, we have seasons of consolation. So think the word to console or to comfort. Things are going well. We feel great about life and our walk with God is good. We feel close to Him. We're growing in our identity of who we are in Him. There are also seasons of desolation. Think perhaps desert, where we feel that God is far from us. This distance might be as a result of something happening in our own lives or something that's happened to someone else close to us, and we're in a season of wondering, where is God in all of this? The interesting outcome of either or both of those in seasons of consolation, our faith and our hope is formed. In desolation, as you can imagine, any growth will usually require effort and struggle. So in desolation, our character is formed. And I thought those were really good things to keep in mind. So the instruction is that we are not to make a major decision when we're in a season of desolation. And I don't know that I've always done that. I think often when there has been struggle and challenge has been what's precipitated or led to a major move. And so I don't stand before you as a perfect example of having listened to God and moved every time He's beckoned or stopped and waited. But these are some of the efforts that I've made, and I trust that this will be helpful for you and to you. One passage from 1 John chapter 4, he says to us, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So as we press into God and we're looking to get some instruction from Him, not everything that comes back or comes to mind or is in our heart is from God. We have many voices that are wanting attention, including the devil, who wants to influence. And so this is why it's absolutely important to have some help and to round things out. We have helps in the form of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is a very important truth detector. We have the Scriptures. If what we hear does not line up with what God has revealed in His Word, then we have our answer. We also have the spiritual family. God's family around us is available for us to be able to help discern what we think we're hearing from God. So, I think that rounds out our message. The blast, the sense, the silence. I don't know how you can, which one of those you can identify with, how you're made, how you're wired, what personality God has given you affects how you listen. We are all well aware of God's intention for how we ought to live based on what He has revealed in His Word. We are blessed if we not only become informed, as in reading the Bible, but listen. Listen implying acting on it. We are sometimes not so aware about His specific will in a given scenario. We do well to continue to live as God's children, being open and willing to serve and try different things in order to see how we can contribute and build up His church and make us useful for His kingdom's sake. Let's pray together in closing. God, we thank You for how You've made us wonderfully and complex. We thank You for looking after all of our spiritual needs and how You looked after us for all eternity through Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for that salvation that is ours. And I pray, God, that this morning, as there's lots of hearers, God, would You help us to be honest with where we're at with You? If we've never given our lives to You, God, we ask that You would help us to be courageous to make that commitment to following after You. Help us to plug into somebody, someone else. Help us to tap a shoulder and make use of what You've been doing in other people's lives. We pray, God, that as we've listened this morning, we're encouraged to realize that we're in very good hands. You look after your children quite well. Thank you for the world we live in now where distances have become shorter. Thank you for what you're doing here in Lakrete as you continue to move in our hearts and empower us to do your will. Help us to listen to you through others, through your word, through your nudging of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.